I'm Mark Bayshore. This week, the Michigan legislature has caught the ire of some municipal leaders who fear the state may be overstepping its reach into local government. One Republican-sponsored bill now headed to the House floor would ban local communities from entering into negotiations with developers over wages and so-called community benefits. The measure has evoked criticism from a number of Democratic civic officials. Here to discuss the bill and a number of other topics of local importance, Nathan Triplett, the mayor of East Lansing. Welcome back, Nathan.
Thank you.
Also with us today, city manager George Lahanas. George, welcome back.
Thank you.
Nathan, let's start with the bill we just mentioned. House Bill 5977 has recently passed out of committee. Essentially, it would limit the power of local units of government like the city of East Lansing to enact their own employment policies when dealing with developers. That includes wages. If it passes, what could that bill mean for development in East Lansing?
Well, this is a piece of legislation that I think is an egregious violation of local control. You're talking about a bill, while most of the debate has focused around the City of Detroit's community benefits ordinance, that would actually prohibit any local requirements related to employee wages or benefits, including requirements that are associated with development projects. So in other words, that means that when a community like the City of East Lansing is considering granting some type of economic development incentive that's funded by taxpayers, the legislature would tie our hands so that we can't negotiate with that developer over how those monies will be spent, about hiring local workers, about paying fair wages, about the benefits that they're going to offer. You would never see that kind of restriction in the private sector, and it really puts communities on the defensive so that we don't have the ability to make sure that our taxpayer monies, when these incentives are offered, are being spent in a way that represents the community's values and priorities.
Development seems to be a regular topic in East Lansing. George, what do you think the impact of this could be?
Well, I think from a general perspective, obviously East Lansing is a home rule city. We want to be able to have our elected leaders be able to make policy decisions for the community. So I think that anytime we have a situation where the state is intruding on our ability to come to agreements between how developers work in East Lansing and how the city partners with them, I think that that is a negative thing for the residents of East Lansing.
Well, what contingency plans are you considering if this becomes law?
Well, unfortunately, the legislature has the power to preempt any local action in the state of Michigan. So our plan as local leaders here in mid-Michigan and across the state is to do everything we can to fight this legislation on the House floor, in the Senate, if it gets there. And it's important to note that this is a piece of legislation opposed by the Michigan Municipal League, the Michigan Townships Association, the Michigan Association of Counties, because all of those organizations recognize that these are issues of local concern that vary from community to community. And the state enforcing a one-size-fits-all mandate just does not serve the interest of our residents and taxpayers.
Our guest today, Nathan Triplett, the mayor of East Lansing, and city manager George Lahanas. We're talking about several issues being discussed at the state capitol that could impact local governments. Nathan, you also spoke out on your Facebook page against a bill that would allow the state to regulate high-tech ride-sharing services like Uber, like Lyft. Why do you oppose that?
Well, here again, we have a situation where the state legislature presumes to tell local units of government that they have to adopt a one-size-fits-all solution to challenges that vary from community to community. The bill that you're referencing, House Bill 5951, would preempt any local regulation of transportation network companies like Uber. Your listeners might recall that here in the greater Lansing area, Mayor Bernero and I worked with our city clerks and city attorneys and our councils to develop a set of regulations that would allow these innovative transportation companies to come into our region, but also deal with very real public safety concerns. If this bill passes, all of that work will be for naught and will be voided.
But both Uber and Lyft, if I understand this correctly, both back the measure.
And
correct?
They do. And I can understand from their perspective why not having to deal with local officials is attractive to them. But the fact of the matter is the conditions that prevail in communities across the state vary. And we should be able to take those conditions into account when developing an appropriate regulatory framework.
There's a road funding measure under consideration at the state capitol that could have consequences for municipalities. I'm sure you're both aware of it. It would divert $117 million from revenue sharing, other monies it would divert, $54 million from a comprehensive transportation fund, along with $860 million from the school aid fund. This is Speaker Jace Bolger's road funding measure. George Lohannes, how do you feel about that?
You know, I think that it goes to a level of irresponsibility. To look at the condition of Michigan's cities and the streets and the infrastructure and communities, they've all suffered over the last decade or 12 years in a declining economy in Michigan. Cities have struggled greatly. To infer that perhaps they could take money from cities and then give it back to them for a specific purpose to pay for roads seems to me to be a pretty peculiar way of solving a problem. The problem needs more funding, not a redevising or redivision of the pie. You know, I think that the state should look at cities as an opportunity to lead an economic resurgence in the state. People want to live in cities and urban areas, and I think there should be greater investment in cities and not simply more penalties, so to speak.
Part of the rationale for this apparently seems to be that the revenue in the state is expected to rise enough to be able to pay for education and revenue sharing without this. There is also specific language to prevent a direct funding cut during the phase-in period.
You know, it's a good point, but the city of East Lansing, for instance, is still $2 million less in receipts from the state for revenue sharing than we got in 2001. So if there's any growth to be had in the economy rebounding, then hopefully the cities would be able to realize that growth, because we are still literally 13 years later getting $2 million less than we got from the state. And that is such a tremendous loss for us over these years. But to not be able to realize any growth, cities are counting on that growth to be able to bring themselves out of this difficult time we've had. And to spend that off, I think, is just a bad policy for Michigan cities.
And the speaker says that fail-safe exists, but if you read the bill, the way it's actually structured is as long as they give us at least $1 for roads, they can cut $1 for revenue sharing and still be able to claim that there's been no reduction in funding to communities. So if they give $40 million more for road funding, they can cut $40 million from revenue sharing. And in their mind, that's just okay. I mean, the fact of the matter is this plan, even with the alleged fail-safe, robs Peter to pay Paul and puts us in a position where local units of government once again will not have the revenue they need to provide essential services, and not just cities, though that's clearly what we deal with most directly. Just yesterday, the Michigan League for Public Policy released an analysis of how individual school districts would be impacted. The East Lansing Public Schools, $1.6 million in revenue lost under the speaker's proposal, all while there's a perfectly reasonable bipartisan-supported plan from the Senate right now that the legislature could pass, give us $1.2 billion for road funding, and not harm school districts, communities, or public transit.
Are you both supporters of Senator Richardville's plan then?
Certainly. I think that a plan that finds new revenue to cover this situation is by far the best option.
The measure has gone to conference, which means, as far as I understand, that means that whatever emerges for a vote could not be changed on the floor. How concerned are you that this feature of the House measure would survive and become the one that's voted on?
Well, I would say very concerned. As you rightly point out, the conference committee report ultimately cannot be amended, so it's critical that the conferees approve a plan that doesn't rob money from local schools and communities to pay for roads. We need to invest in our transportation infrastructure, but it shouldn't be at the expense of other critical priorities. And it's not just local officials who feel that way. Governor Snyder himself has said that the House plan isn't fast enough or far enough, and he characterizes its impact on schools and communities as major consequences.
Our guest today, Mayor Nathan Triplett of East Lansing and City Manager of East Lansing, George Lohannes. We're talking about issues being discussed, state capital and impacts on East Lansing and other cities. Last month, DTN Management withdrew its proposal for the Park District properties development in downtown. How big a setback was that?
Well, I think clearly this is an area of downtown that we've been working to revitalize for roughly a decade at this point. So it was a setback for the community, but it's something that continues to be a priority and we'll continue to work on. And it's important for your listeners to understand that while the DTN project was withdrawn, that there continues to be a project moving forward for the corner of Abbott and Grand River by the Park District Investment Group. It's been approved by the Planning Commission. It's in front of council for our evaluation of the site plan. Assuming that that is approved at some point, we'll enter a due diligence process to develop an appropriate, mutually agreeable development agreement. So there are still things that are moving forward. But
DTN's plan was for the city and the Downtown Development Authority owned properties, correct?
That's right. And so since the ballot measure requiring 60% approval to sell property failed, that project will not move forward. That planning process has been terminated. But what is moving forward is a project on the privately owned parcels from the Park District Investment Group, which include the buildings at the corner of Abbott and Grand River that are probably most synonymous with the Park District, those empty bank buildings.
That was a close vote. I want to say it was 58% voted,
yeah,
and you needed 57, and you needed a clear 60. What was your response to
you know,
that, George?
I think it's unfortunate that the charter has that language in actuality, because you want to be able to do what a majority of your residents want. And I think in this situation, a majority of our residents clearly favored moving in the direction of a more vibrant urban downtown that's walkable. That's the type of thing people want to see in our downtown. And to not be able to do it, even though a majority of our residents wanted us to do it, is just disappointing.
The talk so far has been mixed development. Is it possible that the longer this takes, does it become more likely some other fundamentally different plan might emerge for the publicly owned properties? Or is mixed development pretty much baked in the cake?
Well, I think as far as the publicly owned properties are concerned, the thing we have to remember is until and if the voters approve the sale of that land, there won't be a project on the publicly owned parcels. But to your question about the general form of development, the fact of the matter is East Lansing residents are already voting with their wallets and with their feet strongly in support of this type of mixed-use, high-density redevelopment. If you look at the parking utilization in the lots that surround the residences where the Hopcat is located and the St. Anne project next door and our new plaza, it's up substantially. Anecdotally, if you just go downtown, you can see the difference. So I think there's strong support for this general mode of redevelopment. And unfortunately, we were not able to continue that very successful economic development strategy with the publicly owned parcels in the Park District because of the charter requirement.
East Lansing was the first municipality in America to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation. That was 40-some years ago. Nathan, you've been an outspoken supporter of adding LGBT citizens to protections offered by Michigan's Elliott Larson anti-discrimination law, but it won't happen this year because legislators could not agree on including the transgender population. Are you more confident or less confident that this will happen soon?
Well, I'm confident that it will happen eventually, and it's very unfortunate that the Speaker of the House, Jay Spolger, has chosen to not allow this issue to move forward in this legislative session. It has a tremendously detrimental impact, not just on the LGBT community, but overall on the perception of our state as someplace that's interested in attracting and retaining talented individuals. You can't say on one hand that you're interested in attracting and retaining talent, and on the other hand adopt policies that we know for a fact drive talented people from our state. And that's exactly what's happened, not just with refusing to expand the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, but now trying to pass a so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Act that would create a license to discriminate in our state.
I want to ask you both, while you're both here, another Senate bill would limit the frequency of rental property inspections by cities. George, what's your take on that?
You know, this is a great area for local control because the City of East Lansing has a robust rental property inspection program. We believe firmly that it saves lives. Having inspectors into buildings and properties on a regular basis with that trained eye, making sure the improvements are done to properties is something that actually I think is probably the best safeguard against fires and any sort of those types of hazards. The fire department responds after a fire has already started. That's really in a lot of ways too late. It's good code enforcement and inspection that keeps properties safe and limits the danger to our student residents, and I think it's a terrible mistake to make.
George Lahanas is city manager of East Lansing. Nathan Triplett is the mayor of the city of East Lansing. Many thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.